Om Shanti. Good morning. You're all too cold? Okay. We Brahmins are really so fortunate because in the whole of the world, well, I don't know that there could be any child who sustained so well as we have been sustained. Right from the morning up until we go to bed, and even after we go to bed. And this sustenance is not by any ordinary person, but then this is a sustenance that we are getting directly from God, always watching us. The parents in the world do sustain children, then soon after they prepare food, feed the children, send them to school, they're so happy. For a few hours, don't have to worry about the children. Somebody else is looking after. Now it's not my problem. They get some time for themselves. But here, Baba as a teacher, again teaches. Again, he's always watching, always watching. From up above, what is my child doing? If the child is in trouble, she needs anything, she falling down, he or she needs any help? Just before we trip down or fall down, he holds us from behind. Never let us fall. So who on the earth can ever sustain in this way? With so much love, always watching, 24 hours. So God is watching us. Though from distance, but He is watching us. There's a song in English, huh? There's a song in English? God is watching us from a distance? From a distance, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful song, huh? But still, we all as a Brahman need to ask ourselves, am I happy? We are getting so much. Nobody in Lockheed would ever get as much as we do. But are we happy? This is something that I have to just sit with myself. Take a deep breath. Relax yourself. And ask this to the self. Am I really happy? Are you happy? There are two levels of happiness because Brahmins are very clever. Too clever. God chooses, though He says, my children are innocent, there are innocent, but then they are clever also. One thing is that we understand knowledge intellectually. Huh? And one is understanding and realizing the knowledge from heart. So I know I'm happy intellectually. But is my heart happy? Make sense? Am I making sense to you? So we all know, we are all happy superficially, outwardly. We all speak about happiness, satisfaction, blah, 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 blah. We are very happy. We apparently are happy. But the happiness that should be there deep down, if something is there, something is not there, Someone is with me, someone is not with me. Something I get, something I don't get. Something is happening as per my wish. Something is not happening as per my wish. Am I still happy? Because if my heart is happy, I don't care if anything is happening or not happening. Because my heart is happy. So, although we have clear knowledge about God, we have clear knowledge on so many subjects, so many aspects, but yet, deep down, again, it's something that I have to ask myself, am I satisfied in my life as a Brahman? Or do I somewhere, sometime, some point in time in my Brahman life, do I regret? What did I do? I had a good job. I had a good husband. Very good boyfriend. Very nice girlfriend. Good society. Good parents. What big house I had. I left everything. What am I doing here? Cleaning floor. Early in the morning. Waking up. No good sleep. What am I here doing? Getting so tired of myself. Right from 4 in the morning up until 10 in the night. Hardly have some time to take deep breath. What am I getting in return? Nothing. Nothing. So I think I made a mistake somewhere in deciding my life. Anytime do you get such thoughts? Sometimes. It's because I am not really realizing as to what am I getting. You know, it's like two scales. This what am I getting and what am I giving. I count more on giving, letting go, but I don't really realize what am I getting in return. Because what you're giving, you know, you're aware. What you're getting in return, you're not aware. And because you're unaware, many of us are really illiterate in this part of attainment. What are you getting? Even little bit I do in name of God. Even a little bit I do as a Brahman. The attainment I get, the reward I get is beyond your imagination. Because remember who's giving you. Not human. God. God. And God would not give you this much. His capacity is unlimited. He is ignorant about what am I getting from God. I'm not happy. Because what I do is visible. What God is doing in return is not visible. I'm not able to see. And therefore, I'm not happy. The moment we see, it's visible to me, it's obvious to me, what am I getting in return? Then I will be very happy. Remember one thing. Anything I do as a Brahman, or first of all, after I become a Brahman, for everything what I am, God is responsible. God is responsible. No human being is responsible. Because you've given your life to God. Whatever sacrifices, whatever we are doing in the name of God. And therefore, God is responsible for us. No human being. And God would not keep anybody's accounts with him. He will clear it away. He will give you in return hundredfold. But he knows when to give, where to give. So just have patience. And leave alone a Brahman life, but even as a normal human being, even to lead a lotic life, two things are very essential. A happy, good lotic life. Brahman life is different. Even to live a very happy, lotic life in the world, you need two things. One is stability and one is stamina. Stamina, strength. If I have no strength within, no stamina within, and if I'm not stable internally, then I can't even lead a lotic life properly. Because to lead any life, I need to be very stable, balanced. Bhagavad Gita says yoga means balance. Don't go to the extremes. Then we lose the joy. Either you're out of control or you're not able to, you know, even to get onto the bike or into the car. You can't enjoy both. When the vehicle is completely under your control, when you're singing, you're talking, you're listening to the music, you're having a cup of tea, sitting, and you're enjoying, you're driving. Oh, wow, beautiful drive, jolly drive, it's called a jolly drive. Have you all been on a jolly drive sometimes? No? The person who is just learning, not even know to get to the car and doesn't know where the brake to touch the accelerator is, can he take you on a jolly drive? Is there a speed? Fear. There's always a fear. There's no question of jolly. There's fear. Uncertainty. Doesn't know what may happen. So the person who is master, the vehicle is absolutely under control, absolutely stable, controlled. He is very happy. He can take you anywhere. No matter what comes, he is happily driving. He is not afraid of the vehicle that's going to come in front of the way, in the way, on the way. Because he knows how to take, you know, avoid it. If I do not know how to avoid the vehicles coming in front of me, then I'm afraid always. So I would, before going to it, would like to ask a question. Why is that we as a Brahman cannot have a stable, steady stage? Why? Why one day you're very happy enjoying yoga, the other day you literally do not want to do meditation? You say, oh no, I don't want to do meditation. I have no mood. No mood to do meditation. Today you're enjoying every bit of Murli. Ah, you think it's heaven. And the next day, nothing is going into your head. You're sitting there because I have to sit. What will Didi say? What will some Daddy say? Daddy Janki will say, I did not see you in the front. What are you? Oh, so I sit. But nothing is entering in my head. Nothing is going. I instead better go and have some sandwiches. I have no mood to listen. Today I think I can do anything for Baba. Baba is my life. Tomorrow I think, oh my God, not today, Baba, no. No Baba today. Why am I right? Am I right? This happens? Yeah? No?
Maybe for beginners.
I'm not sure. If that is the truth, that's fantastic.
Maybe the body is not there.
That's exactly my question. What are the reasons as to why my stage is not stable? Whatever the reason could be. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And no faith in self. Body not good. Yeah. Body poor, intellect. No good throat, no good stomach. No Baba. 10 times motions, no Baba. Diarrhea, no yoga. The whole concentration is on your stomach. Yeah? Very cold. You don't remember Baba. You only remember cold, cold, cold. Baba later. The first thing I need is a heater. Not Baba. So, yeah? Is that true? Yeah? So what else could be the reason? One is the body and another is the lack of faith in self. Any other reasons? Sanskars. Not churning. And what else could be the reason? Too much to handle. Too many responsibilities. True. True. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh yeah, I know what it is like. True. I believe, and I'm sure all of us are knowledgeable and all these reasons are absolutely right. Because we all are experienced and the experience speaks in our own fields. But on the whole, whatever could be the reason, eventually, I'm satisfied. Whenever I'm not satisfied, my mind cannot settle down. Like if you're hungry, you want to eat stomach full, your belly needs to be filled. Well, you go to the dining area, you eat some food, but that's not of your taste. That's not exactly what you really expect. That's not as per your desire. And though I eat, I'm not satisfied. And so, even after I eat my food, I look for something else to munch on. Anything. Yes, though I've had enough, but it's not really making me feel that I'm full. Before I look for something else, my mind go for something else. I look in somebody else, maybe the shop, maybe the chips. Something else, something else, something else. So, therefore, so why do I want to eat more? It's not that I'm hungry, but I'm not satisfied. Make sense? Your hunger is full because you have really eaten. But you're not satisfied. Your belly is full, but your mind is not satisfied. I said something very interesting. The physical hunger is also based on your mind. Do you know that? Do you know that? I'll tell you once what happened. This is a real story, huh? There was a sister. Well, she's still there. She had a breakfast around 9-ish. She did some job. At 11 o'clock, she was very sleepy. So what she decided, she thought she would go and have breakfast today, you know. So she finished her task at 11 o'clock. She went and slept at 11. She slept and she slept. She had a very good sleep because she was really feeling sleepy. She got up at 3. And 3 is not time for lunch. So as soon as she got up, the first thing she remembered is she missed her lunch. Right? Now what she did, she found some fruit on the table in a room. So she grabbed some and she ate some fruits. She told her brother around there, "Now, brother, can you get some choli for me because I did not have my lunch." So he went and got some choli. She had the choli. And she said, "Brother, could you make some very good tea for me because I never had my lunch?" So he went to have some, make some good tea. So she had her tea. And she said, "Brother, can you make, you know, I don't know if you have had that, bhelpuri, have you had bhelpuri? Huh? It's normally prepared here, bhelpuri. It's a mixture of too many things. Savories and tomatoes and..." She said, "Brother, could you make some bhelpuri because I never had my lunch?" So the brother went to make some bhelpuri, good bhelpuri. Plate full of bhelpuri and she got it. So she had. And then she said, "Brother, could you make some soup early because I never had my lunch?" So the brother went and made some very good soup. So she drank some soup. So she said, "Brother, I think we should make coffee along with this bhelpuri, you know. It's nice because I never had my lunch." So he again got a cup of coffee for her. And in the night, eventually it became night, you know, and it was time for dinner. So she went early to the dining area. The plate was laid and the wife came and said, "Maybe you should give me extra chapati because I never had my lunch." So she had so much food, much more than the normal, only because her consciousness was that she never had a lunch. She missed her lunch. Had she had a lunch, she would not have eaten so much. Only one roti chapati she used to have in the night, but she had 2 chapatis, some khichdi, some chips and some more, only because she thought in her mind that she missed her lunch. So now tell me, is this hungry of your stomach or your consciousness? And later the sister sat down, she started remembering all that she ate, right from 3 o'clock up until 8:30. And she sat down, she said, "So much she ate. It's so much." And she started laughing and laughing. And she came to us and she said, "I want to share something." I said, "What?" She started saying, "Look, I slept. When I got, I was hungry. Only thing I remember that I did not have my lunch. I've been eating all this one after the other. Every half an hour she was eating on something. Only because she remembered, she held in her mind that she missed something." Makes sense? This is a real story. Now where lies the hunger? In the stomach or in the mind? Isn't that interesting? So any sort of hungry we have in the mind, in the body, she said, in the form of desire, need, want. Remember one thing. It's God's responsibility to give us all our needs. For any surrendered child, it's impossible that we don't have that we need. I mean surrender. Does not mean surrender who live in the center. Anyway you live at home, live anyway, but your intellect is still surrendered to God. Means God will become responsible even for your physical things, for your physical needs. I mean it. Though Baba talks about I'm only a spiritual father, for us, he really gives all our physical needs, all that we want. Because Brahma is our mother, Shiva Baba's father. Any mother cannot see children having nothing or need something and they're not getting it. It's parents' responsibility. But then you should have, as he said, the faith that they are responsible and I'm a child. They are responsible. Give away, give away. Let them take care. Let Baba take care. You have no soap? Yeah, Baba, no soap, he will take. I mean to say, as any child, you become children, really. If you think you are responsible for yourself, then Baba say, okay, come on, look after yourself. If you think Baba is responsible, Baba make somebody responsible. And he see that you get things. And I'm sure all of us have this experience, all of us. He's not a spiritual father, he's very much a physical father, too. It's come from somewhere, exactly at what you wanted, what you need. So never ever in Brahman life, any Brahman can ever starve. No Brahman can ever struggle for need. Impossible. I can't agree this. Godfather gives more than enough. More than exactly what we need. Yes, the problem comes when we go from need to wants. I need this, and I also want that. And the moment when want starts in my mind, then mind starts, you know, wandering. I start looking at all that I want. Many times, going to the shopping center, I love it, they don't know what to get. Probably they would just go there to get a soap powder, you know, a detergent to wash clothes. But then they would end up buying something else. Because they are not sure. All that they saw attracted them and the mind was not focused anymore. Ah, but no, it's very nice. I only hope I had this. So, you know, expectations, desires makes mind fall down. It's the desires and the expectations never allows the mind to focus, never allow mind to be stable. Though I have no many desires, but I have expectations. My expectations are also, in a way, desires. I expect you to be like this. I want this to be this way. I expect that to happen. I expect this not to happen. Don't you think this is also, in a way, a desire? A want. Needs, likes, dislikes also. These, we still hold on to these things. My likes, my dislikes, my needs, my don'ts, my do's, my desires. Me, my world. When I still hold on to this world of my own, I've created my own world, I'm living in his own world, it can never be stable. Because we, Baba says, your world servant. Servant, the server means the one who gives. Now you will be able to only give when you come out of your world. When you're staying in your old world, when you're in your own world of likes and dislikes, when you're still struggling to satisfy yourself, when am I going to serve others? When am I going to give others? When am I going to think about somebody else? Because my stomach is not full as it. And so I'm still looking. If I can get something from here, if I can get something in from there, if I can get something from her, if I can get something from him, I'm still wandering from person to person, from place to place, from things to things, from situation to situation, whatever. Then this is never-ending story. This hunger can never be, you know, quenched. This thirst is never-ending. Because if you have a genuine thirst, anybody can quench it. But this is not the thirst that it has come. It's the thirst or hunger that you have created for yourself. Many a times that my body needs water, so I drink water. My body needs food, I eat food. Okay, now, besides eating and drinking, when I go in the hot, very hot sun, because of the external heat, I feel more thirsty, which is, I can understand. So I need more water. Now everything is comfortable, but it's still thirsty, so this is not a genuine thirst. Either you're sick, or something wrong with the mind. So this is the thirst that I've created for myself. Which means, I'm creating a bondage for my own self. Nobody is binding, you have no bondage. There is no genuine reason for me to be unhappy. But I am creating a bondage for myself. And within this bondage, I'm unhappy because I think that I'm not getting what I want. And I also think she is responsible for me to be unhappy because they are not allowing things to happen for me. She is not giving me what I want. He is not allowing me what I want to do. So he and she and they are responsible for me to be unhappy. Which is true? Which is true? Which is true? Because I have no guts to look at myself. Because I always blame on others. The person who is not introverted, who cannot see himself deep down, why is that my mind goes here and there? What is that I want? And I always show finger on somebody and telling she and he and they are responsible for my state of mind. If I'm not capable to be responsible for my own state of mind, how am I able to be responsible for a center, for a service, for a project, for anything, for world service? Impossible. And therefore, basically, I have no clock. Oh, it's here, okay. Basically, it's something that I have to really need a deep checking. Very deep. Try to know yourself. Know your mind. Know your desires. Try to know your emotions. What is it you want as a Brahman? Even if I ask you to just close your eyes, many of you are closing your eyes. Even now. Are you tired? Huh? No? No? Okay. Yeah? I know. Yeah, so better not talk seriously, yeah? It's like lullaby. Any serious class is like lullaby. It puts you to sleep very quickly. Alright. Close your eyes, just for a minute, okay? Not more than that. And just ask yourself, take a deep breath, relax yourself, and just ask yourself, what is that I want as a Brahman? What I want? What I have and what I want. Just write down. All that you think you want as a Brahman. Remember, as a Brahman, as a child of God, what do I want? Okay. I'm sure this is a very short time for us to know this question, to answer this question. It needs deeper, longer period for you to sit and really think about it as to what do I need as a Brahman. Number one. Number two, ask yourself, before you were a Brahman, what is it you wanted, always wanted to have? And after you became a Brahman, what is it you wanted to have? Both are same, are there a difference in your needs, in your desires, before becoming Baba's child and after you became a Brahman, Baba's child? Your priorities, your desires, your importance have changed, or are they still the same? Number three, after you became Baba's child, though the desires have changed, your priorities have changed, your preferences have changed, but somewhere in the corner of your heart, you still have the desires. Or are you still not satisfied from your logic life? And though I know that after I become Brahman, I don't need those things which I wanted in my lofty life, but the desires are there still down somewhere in my heart, unfinished, uncompleted, not satisfied. But that's still bothering me. Making sense to you? Huh? Am I making sense to you? Is it clear? Alright, third question you want me to repeat. Like now I have become a Brahman, my desires have changed, my preferences, my importance, my likes and dislikes have definitely changed, but I still have in my heart, somewhere in the corner of my heart, the unfinished desire from my logic. Okay, I wanted something in my logic. So after I got knowledge, I know that I really don't need this anymore. But still, this I have understood intellectually. But still I have the desire somewhere in my heart that I feel is unfinished. It's bothering me. Makes sense now? Does that make sense to you now? So though I have changed from Laukik to Alaukik, though I am a God's child now, but I'm the same person. My heart is the same. But this unfinished job, unfinished desire, or something I was really longing there, is still somewhere in the corner of my heart bothering me. So I intellectually know that I don't need it anymore, but still I think, I mean, that's bothering me. I know I don't want now, but still, it still bothers me, pulls me sometimes, somewhere. And therefore, another thing I have to do in meditation, whenever I sit in silence, quiet, check where is your intellect going? Where is your mind pulled? To your past? To your logics? To some person in particular? Or some unfinished job? Is anything in our life which is unresolved will always come up in our life, stand as an obstacle in our way. Anything unresolved. It's like a thing under the carpet. After I become a Brahmin, I pushed everything under the carpet and very neat carpet. Very cozy, eh? Very fine. Anybody come and say, oh, see, your house is very nice, very good carpet, very clean. But nobody lifts the carpet because everything is beneath the carpet and under the table or under the pot. But superficially everything is fine and clean, but all the garbage you had from before is still beneath the carpet. Until you lift the carpet and clean it and throw it away, this will always stand in your way. Never allow your mind to be stable. This is not resolved. Anything I have still in my mind is still there, still unfinished. No problem if I'm 30 years in Gyan or 40 years in Gyan. But that is still unfinished, unresolved problem. Either you throw, burn, forget, do whatever you want, but take it out of you. Like if a phone is there inside, unless you pull the phone out, it's still tricking you. Every time you take a step, it tricks you. It's not a new phone which is tricking, but then the phone which tricked sometimes before, it's so deep down there, it's inside you, you have not pulled it out at all. Probably you've forgotten, probably you've ignored, probably you don't want to pull it out, probably you're not able to find out where exactly the thorn is pricked, and you're not able to find it. Whatever the reason is, eventually there is a thorn in the leg, which is old, which is not removed. So every time you take a step, it puts you. It never allows you to take a stable step. You can't walk confidently, you can't walk stably, because there is a prick in the leg. The path is right, though you're walking on a carpeted path, but still, there is no wrong in the path. There are no thorns on the carpet. There are no obstacles on the way. The only problem is the tiny thorn which is there inside your leg. When you start finding for the reason outside, you wouldn't get it. Because that is right down there in your leg. You try to take the carpet out, clean it and brush it or broom it or vacuum it. That's perfect. But still you can't be stable because there is a bone to bone right down in your leg. Make sense to you? So resolve the problems. Just because I'm a Brahman, that does not mean nothing is there from the past. Unless I don't finish it, it is always there before me. And therefore, Baba says the intensity of yoga should be so deep that it takes the form of a fire that it can really burn the past. Clean the past. At least, if I'm not able to burn, I should put the past so far away that it does not disturb me anymore. You know? At least it does not bother me anymore. Far from my sight. Out of sight is out of mind? Is that what you say? Yeah. And therefore, as I also mentioned the other day, after we become Brahmins, our expectations increases. We start expecting too much from everybody. We become very fussy. We become too complicated. We become too sophisticated after we become Baba's children. We become too sensitive. We were not so sensitive before, but we become more sensitive after we become Baba's children. Because we think, I don't know what. And if that, I think, I expect is not fulfilled, hurt. And the hurt cannot make me stable because anything unfulfilled stands on your way. Anything which is not fulfilled, unfulfilled, stands on your way. Your mind goes again and again. Anything that you like too much, your mind goes there again and again. Anything that you don't like, you hate too much, your mind goes there again and again. Because both are unresolved. You hate something because you don't love. You love that too much because you're not able to detach. And therefore, your mind goes there again and again. You're pulled towards it. Though I'm sitting in front of Baba, opening my eyes, giving drishti, my mind is not here. My mind, I hate that brother. He did that to me. I will see when I get a chance. Every dog has its day. I will see that he has really learned a lesson. I am sitting here saying, Baba, Shiv Baba, Shiv Baba. Let that brother learn a lesson. I have to teach. But this is not yoga. This is not fire of yoga. On the contrary, I'm creating an account with that brother. Karma account with that brother. Because I'm remembering that again and again in my mind. Because in whatever way I'm creating an account, I have to settle the account in the same manner. That's a deep philosophy of karma again. If I look at somebody, Baba says, everybody are souls, everyone are souls. If I have the body consciousness vision for somebody, I have to suffer, you know. I have to see such things which hurts me. Such scenes come before me. I'm forced to see such situations that hurt me. The sight, the scenes hurting me because I was looking at people, body conscious, in the vision. I think bad about others, bad feelings. Looking at somebody's mistake, thinking about somebody's mistakes. I could suffer mentally. I have money, I have everything, I'm not at peace. I'm never at peace. Because I was thinking bad about others. You see? So it's very deep. I'm wasting my time in a bad way, unnecessary way. The time will deceive us in a moment where I need time very much. If I really had one moment, 1 minute, I would have done that. You know the importance of 1 minute? Huh? Have you ever missed a flight in 1 minute? Or a train? Or a bus? Tramp? You're going on an important job. 1 minute. You have to wait for another 7 days to catch the same flight. Just imagine what kind of condition. 1 minute, you're there, and you see the flight just going, flying away. Imagine your position. So time will deceive us. The moment, a fraction of a second, can deceive us, because I've wasted my time. Money. I'm wasting my money, using money to hurt somebody, using my money in an unnecessary way, creating accounts. So money will deceive me. These are all very deep, very deep. Many times we think, why things, you know, why should I face all this? I'm good, isn't it? I'm very good. I've not done anything wrong at all. But I don't think that I'm thinking wrong, though I have not done wrong physically. But I was thinking wrong, so it hurts me. Mind is hurting me. My own thoughts, my own emotions are hurting me. My own nature, my samskaras are hurting me. Nobody is hurting me. Nothing is hurting me. Things within myself is a big battlefield. It's not just a battlefield. Yeah. And therefore, now I have to really, Baba says, it's time that we develop disinterest, a genuine disinterest for everything. Because I know now whatever I see through these eyes, anything that is can be touched, sensed, everything is going to finish. Even if I'm going to get it, what am I going to get out of it? So I have to, not intellectually just, but realize from your heart and have the disinterest from the heart. And then things will never stand on the way. My mind will focus, keep focused. And the reason also why my mind is not constant and steady is because I'm not enjoying what I'm doing sometimes. I do because I have to do. I'm not really enjoying, I'm not getting, I don't have experience of any attainment. You know, I'm not getting anything. I'm sitting in meditation, but I feel very sleepy. Why? I'm giving my time. I've paid so many dollars to fly from some corner of the world to here to have that experience. And I'm here sitting to have that experience and I'm sleeping. You can as well go and sleep in your own bed there in your room, there in your place, at home. Why come in Makan? I have 15 days, 2 weeks leave from my boss because he will shout if I'm 1 day late, loss of day. With all that I've come here, and when I'm sitting in meditation, I'm not having any experience. I don't feel that I'm getting something. I'm getting something inside my soul. What use then? And therefore, my mind is not there. many times even after I come here, from one corner of the world, leaving behind everything and here, coming here, I still think about the place that I left. If 15 days you cannot go back, you have nothing to do from where you come from. I still think about those things. The same issues linger in my mind. Maybe after you go back, what should you do? When did you leave that thing? Oh, will I get back when I go? Boy, I remember where I have kept those things. I forgot the sandals. It should be beneath there. So I remember all those things. Unnecessary, though, so many times. It's not important, but still I think. Because I have nothing more to do. I'm not getting anything, you know, I'm not enjoying. If I learn to enjoy, my mind becomes focused. You see? So learn, enjoy everything. Enjoy the meditation, enjoy every bit of it. Then you're getting, you're receiving the joy and your mind is there, stable. And the last point I thought I would share was that I'm not able to focus or remain stable, my mind, because that I'm not able to remove my mind from the other side. Huh? If I have to focus here, which is very steady and stable, my mind should have been removed from all the other corners. So if I'm not able to pull out my mind, remove my mind from the other side, can't focus here. Focusing is not, I mean, it's important, but more than that, to keep your mind away from the other place is also important. And if I really don't give a task to my mind, it will wander. Okay, now it's meditation time. I sat down. Like for example, now it has traffic control for 3 minutes. Because the song was playing, I sat down quietly. But did I give a task to my mind? So the body is sitting still, no doubt. What is my mind supposed to be doing? Did I tell my mind to think a particular thought, to do a particular task, to experience a particular feeling? If I don't give a particular task to the mind will wander, because mind is like a little child. If you don't give a child a task, the child will go anywhere, do anything, and control. But if you make the child sit and tell, look, you have to draw this. If you tell the child, you play with this doll. Do the child do anything. Give a job. So the child will be busy with the job. If you don't give a task to the child, it will do all the things, go everywhere, pull out everything, cause disturbance, mischief. Because it doesn't have a particular thing to do. Therefore, I have to set a table to my mind to do this and this and this while doing this and this and this. When I'm doing this, this is what I have to think. While doing this, I have to think this. While doing this, I have to think this. Make sense? Probably mind know what to do while doing what. Otherwise it's always hanging on to something or the other. It is unnecessary. And so I feel I'm not still satisfied. I'm not able to experience the super sensuous joy. Because I'm still somewhere pulled by my sensuous pleasures. I'm experiencing sensual pleasures still. Not sensual pleasures in that sense, that eating, that pulls. Talking, oh, I love talking, that pulls. I like to listen somebody talk. I like to listen this. Sensual pleasure. See, sensual pleasure. So if I'm still deriving pleasure from this body, from the senses, through the senses, I can't experience the super-sensuous joy. The mind cannot be still stable because I'm still deriving pleasure from my... I'm attached to the taste of my physical senses. How am I not able to get out of it? It's not that nobody is compelling a bondage on me, but I'm not able to let go the taste of the happiness that I've had. It's like somebody smoke. They want to let go smoking, but they're not able to let go smoking. It's not that the cigarette is holding on to them, but they are holding on to the taste of the cigarette, the happiness, the pleasure that they have had while smoking. But the cigarette after all, you know, what value does it? But still, why is that causing such a big stress on me? It's not this. Cigarette is causing a stress on me, but then the pleasure behind that object that I've derived, the taste I've had from that, is killing me. It's not the cigarette. The happiness that I've had through it, So if I've had happiness, the taste, the pleasure from anything, through anybody, through any sense organs, that pulls me behind. And therefore I can't really have this constant, stable, steady mind. Something is pulling here, something is pulling there, something is pulling me behind, something is pulling me forward. I feel I'm pulled all over. Therefore it is important for me to see where all my mind is being pulled. Then I will know these other things that I have to check on. And why is the mind pulling there? So this is still unresolved. That's the reason it's pulling me. Simply resolve that. Throw it out. Finish it. Make you feel so peace. Resolving things, it's real peace, absolute peace, very nice, you feel very nice inside. Okay? Om Shanti. Any questions? The first thing is, did you understand the question? What way, method do you think we have to adopt to resolve things? First thing, it depends upon each of us, because remember one thing, each of us are the best teacher, because I know my mind, I should know my mind. Only I can know my mind. Nobody else can know your mind. No matter how close somebody is to you, it's only me, I, who know my own mind, my emotions, my intellect, my desires, my likes, my dislikes. And I know the best way that I can deal with it. I know how much I'm attached to that. Nobody else would know. And therefore, I am the best teacher for myself. So the first thing is, I should know what are those things that are unresolved. List them out. Very important. Before you know the method, you should know what are the things. If each thing, when it comes before me, then you will know how much I'm attached to that. Then automatically, I know that how I need to get out of it. because it's you who knew how you got into it. You see? How you went into inside, you know the doors to go inside. So it's obvious that only you know the way out. Make sense? Because I don't know how you went in. Of course, in general we could say resolve is the first thing is get detached. Detach from your own sanskars. Detach from those listed items. You're not that. You're different from that. That is different. You're different. Your original nature, as a Brahman, what you want is something entirely different from all these things. So, experiencing, practicing the sense of attachment can really help us resolve, number one. Number two, why is Baba insisting us to have this exercise of being bodiless and then being an angelic? It's because it's very important for me to detach from my sense organs. Because if anything I'm attached to is to the sense organs, some way or the other. So I have to get myself detached from the sense organs. And that is Baba very, very intelligent. He has advised us to have this dose. Like doctor says, take this every 2 hours. Yeah? 12 times a day. Take this dose. Two pill every for 2 hours. You'll be alright. So, and if you're going to take that 2 hourly dose, you'll be alright. If you think, who's going to remember to take every 2 hours? Instead I would take all the 12 time dose once. Then what happens? Huh? That which you have to take 12 times, if you take all that once, what will happen? So if I'm going to think, instead of having every 5 minutes bodiless, I could as well sit and at once have 1 hour bodiless stage. No, it's prescribed medicine. It's very important. Very necessary. It will help me to remove my mind, attach my mind. Take my heart from my mind from there, attach here. Attach here, attach here. This is very important for us. So at any time, anywhere I can remove my mind, attach anywhere, anyhow I want. I can exercise my mind for my own desire. So this exercise is very important for us to resolve many things. Of course. If I have a sanskar in me, anything can trigger you. And if you have that sanskar, your energy, your vision, your attitude will automatically be put towards that way. Like, I think you're 30 of you sitting here. I don't know if more than 30. But all of you are looking at me, looking at this microphone. I don't think that all of you are thinking the same. So I'm one person. Do you all think the same? So the microphone is one piece. You all look at the microphone. Do you all think the same about the microphone? You all look at the clock. The clock is one thing. It's just the same. But when you all look at the clock, do you all think the same? The clock is the same. Why? It's because according to each one's sanskar, we think differently. And why do you have, like we all walk on the road, There are many things on the road. But we all talk about the same thing. One will look at people, one will look at the designs of the dresses, one will look at the cars, one will look at the shoes, one will look at the film pictures, one will look at something else. Why each one look at different things? Why are they attracted? There are other things also. Why are you only looking at the design of the dress each one are wearing? Ah, oh, this neck is very nice. I have to stitch this one. Her shoes, oh, very good. I have to go and buy a pair of that. So we all look at different things. Why? Why are you pulled towards the shoes? Why are you pulled towards the cinema, your film poster there? Why are you pulled towards somebody's makeup or eyelashes or why? Or some people go, they are not bothered over somebody's eyelashes or somebody wearing shoe or not wearing shoe or somebody walking on the road or not walking. They are the king walking straight. They don't know what's happening around. Why? Depending upon your samskar. So, smell, sound, sight, anything can trigger. But it's not the fault on the trigger. The fault is in me because I have samskar in me. Huh? If there is a wood and it's dry, it will catch fire. So the thing is, I should not blame on the triggers because anywhere you go, you have some smell or the sound or the thing. But the thing is, I have to clean inside, beneath the carpet. Please go beneath the carpet. And clean, sweep away from beneath the carpet. Don't deceive yourself thinking, the carpet is so clean. And every time you vacuum the carpet and finish it. Please see that there is also something beneath. Take the carpet out. Make sense? Any more questions or we finish? You want to ask anything? All right. We have a few minutes meditation. Thank you very much. I hope I answered your question. Yeah?